Luke 24. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. The ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Why don't I pray as Pete speaks that we can all understand and get to know God better through it. Dear Lord God, thank you that you're speaking, God. Thank you that you speak to us today as we look at your word and your spirit speaks to us. Please speak to us today through Pete. Please would we see the resurrection, would we see things about your son that impact the way we live today and forever. Amen.
Thanks, Matt.
Right, I want to start by asking you a question. If I was to mix these two things, if I was to mix these two chemicals together, do you think I'm going to make a big mess? Now, you might trust me because I'm a fairly honest guy and try and tell the truth. You might trust me if you knew that I did a bit of chemistry before I started working for EBS. But the only way for us to be sure is for me to do it and you to see the evidence for yourself. So let's do this and try not to make too much mess. I'm not going to put any more in. But look, you can see the evidence for yourself that those two chemicals mixed together make a very big, and will continue to make, a very big mess for the next few minutes. But in our Bible reading today, we heard that Jesus' disciples had been told something far more amazing than if you mix two things together, you get a load of red foam. They'd heard that their friend Jesus, who they'd seen be killed on a cross 2 days ago, was now alive. But they didn't believe their friends. It just sounded made up. Then two more friends said that they'd been walking and talking with Jesus. They were being confused, scared, not sure what to believe. They needed to see the evidence. They needed to see for themselves to be sure. In our passage, verses 36 to 43 shows us some of the evidence. Bam! All of a sudden, a man appears in a locked room. Imagine how scary that would be if someone just appeared right there now. The disciples were terrified. They thought it was a ghost. He says, "Peace be with you." But they're not very peaceful. They're scared. They don't know it's Jesus. They're confused. Who is this? It is Jesus, and he's very, very kind with his friends. He knows what they're thinking, so he shows them the evidence that it really is him. Verse 39, he says, "Look at my hands and my feet." Now, can anyone tell me, why might Jesus' hands and feet be really important? Can anyone tell me? Is there a hand? Why might Jesus' hands and feet be really important? Exactly. 2 days earlier, he'd been nailed to a cross through his hands and his feet. And so the disciples look. And there they see the holes. And the disciples, they're amazed. They're excited. Maybe it is Jesus. But it's all just too good to be true. They still didn't believe him, verse 41 tells us. So Jesus gives them some more evidence. He says, touch me and see. Verse 39, I'm not a ghost. Ghosts don't have skin and bones like I do. Look for yourself. Imagine the disciples sort of looking him up and down, you know, maybe poking him. See if he feels like skin. Can they feel those bones under the skin? But they're still not convinced. Then Jesus says, verse 41, do you have anything here to eat? I don't think Jesus is hungry, but I think he's trying to give his friends more evidence that he really is back from the dead. Give him a bit of fish, and everyone's watching Jesus. What happens? He eats it, and it's normal. Nothing weird. The fish doesn't fall through him, anything crazy like that. He just eats it, and it's normal. Jesus really is alive. He's given his disciples lots of evidence. They've touched him, and he's fleshy, just like they are, just like you and me. They've seen his hands and his feet. You say they've got the holes from those nails just 2 days ago, and he's eaten food, and it was normal. All that evidence Jesus gives to show his friends that he really is alive. Now, God's in the business of giving his people evidence to show that what he says is true. At the start of this book, Luke's book, Luke says that he's investigated everything carefully, that it's an ordered account, that it's eyewitness evidence, and it's written to give believers confidence that this stuff really happened. Yet we don't have a time machine. We can't go back 2,000 years to Israel, but we have the next best thing, eyewitness evidence. And that's how history works. You see, the Bible makes really big claims about Jesus' death. That it deals with our problem of sin. That it means God sees us as his sons and daughters. And that we can enjoy life forever with him, with new bodies. Now, those are huge claims. Claims that need evidence to back them up. And in part, that's what the resurrection is. Evidence that Jesus' death on the cross on Good Friday achieved all those amazing things. If Jesus can be raised from life, so can we. Raised from death to life, so can we. And we've just seen the eyewitness evidence that that really happened. Jesus was really bodily there. Squidgy flesh, hard bones, able to walk and talk and eat. The resurrection happened. And that's evidence that everything the cross achieved really did happen too. There's the evidence. Now, I want to go back to that reaction. Oh, it's changed. That reaction there. Now, although it's really fun just to mix stuff together and see what happens, that's not how science works, sadly. 4 years of studying chemistry told me that. Now, in science, you make predictions about what's going to happen, given what you know, test it out, and see. And when you do a reaction and it explains it, it backs up what you thought, you get more confident that it's right. And you do it again and again, you do lots of reactions, and eventually all the evidence shows that something is true. And one of the reasons we can be so sure that Jesus' death and resurrection are true things that really happened is not just because of the evidence that we've seen, but because it was all predicted hundreds and hundreds of years beforehand. Verses 44 to 47 show some of this. In verse 44, Jesus says, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." It's like we saw last week when we were thinking about those men on the road to Emmaus, how all the Old Testament was pointing forward to Jesus, waiting for him, showing little bits of what he was going to be like. In verse 46, Jesus says, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, nowhere in the Old Testament is there one sentence just like this. But Jesus is bringing lots of words and pictures and ideas from all over the Old Testament, from Isaiah and Psalms. It's like a scrapbook all pointing to him. It was predicted long ago, and all the bits of the Old Testament are pointing to Jesus, and he ticks all the boxes. So like a scientist who makes a prediction, tests it out, sees the evidence, and if it fits, is more confident it's true, Jesus is giving his disciples lots of confidence that he is who he said he is. It's more evidence that this really happened. It was predicted it was going to happen. But did you notice in verse 45 at the top of the screens there, Jesus had to open the disciples' minds so that they could fully understand all this. Now, these disciples, they'd have read their Old Testament and known it, but they didn't really fully understand it. It was just words on a page. But after Jesus opened their minds, they could see that everything was pointing to him. Everything made sense because of Jesus. And in many ways, the same is true for us today. We can read the words in the Bible or have them read to us, but we can only really start to understand them when Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, comes in, opens our eyes and minds, so that we can really understand him. A great prayer we can be praying and should be praying for our friends and family who don't know Jesus, that their minds and eyes would be opened so that they can see how amazing and wonderful the Jesus of the Bible really is. Because no matter how much physical evidence there may be, human beings cannot trust in Jesus without a miracle, a change of heart and mind. And only God can do those sort of miracles. Maybe some of us here today wouldn't call ourselves Christians. Well, what a great day, Easter Day, Resurrection Day, to pray to him, saying sorry for all that we've done that meant Jesus had to die. Thanking him for taking the punishment for us. And asking him to come and open our eyes and change us. So we've seen the evidence that Jesus really is alive. We've seen that everything he did was predicted long before it happened. And all this should give his people confidence in who he is and what he's done. But what next? Verses 48 to 53 show us what was next for Jesus and his disciples. Now, for the disciples, they get promised something amazing. Just think for a second about what a day this was for them. Not only had their best friend, who they were sure was dead, had come back to life, but he's promising to send them a gift. You know, what a change of emotions, what a roller coaster it must have been for them. Now, I don't know if any of you are football fans and were following the game on Wednesday between Spurs and Man City, but that was a roller coaster of emotions for those fans. You know, one team's going through the next, the others, drama at the end. It was a great game. And the fans must have gone through an absolute change of emotions all the time. But that's nothing compared to what the disciples went through that first Easter. They were so sad and scared at the start. But at the end of the day, absolute joy that Jesus was back with them and that he was promising to send more. In verse 49, he says, "I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Now we know from Luke's next book, the book of Acts, that that gift is the Holy Spirit, God himself living inside them. What a great gift. They've just seen Jesus come back to life, so God was with them as another human being. But now he's promised that God will be with them forever by his Spirit. And that was so important because Jesus doesn't stay with his friends on earth. He gets taken up to heaven while he's blessing them. So verses 50 and 51 shows that Jesus is alive, but is now up in heaven with his Father. How much easier do you think it would have been for Jesus' friends knowing that they weren't going to be left alone? This time, they knew that Jesus wasn't dead. And they knew they weren't going to be left on their own. And they knew for certain that Jesus was someone who kept all his promises. And all this means the last thing we see the disciples doing is being joyful and praising God. That's what everything in this chapter, everything in this book is meant to make us do. Be joyful and praise God. Easter Sunday is a wonderful day reminding us of the events of that first Easter. It's a great day to be joyful and confident in all that Jesus has done for us. The evidence is there. Jesus is alive. He's up in heaven now, ruling over everything, having made it possible for us to be friends with God. But that means that, like the disciples, we can be joyful and praising God every day, not just Easter Sunday. We can be even more joyful since the Holy Spirit has come and is at work in us every day if we're trusting in Jesus. Like, being joyful is not always easy. It doesn't mean that we'll always be happy on earth. Jesus never promises that. Bad things happen. But we can be confident in knowing that the most important thing, our eternity, our forever and ever, is secure because of Jesus' death and resurrection. And that's what can give us joy. Regardless of what's going on in our lives, rely on that joy in knowing we're saved. And that will keep us praising God. So we've seen the evidence. Not just that mixing two chemicals together makes a big mess, but the evidence that Jesus really came back from the dead. We've seen that all this was predicted hundreds of years ago. It was all part of God's plan. And this should give us great confidence, like the disciples had, that Jesus' death achieved all it was meant to. And so the challenge to us in the hours and days and weeks and months and years ahead is, in the light of all this, to be those living lives of great joy, praising God. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that Jesus is alive. Thank you that you gave his disciples and us the evidence that Jesus didn't stay in that tomb. Thank you that this was all part of your plan to save us. Please would we be those who live lives joyful and confident in this truth, and be praising you as you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen.